Picture this. It's midnight,
Right.
and a vice president of engineering at a Fortune 100 company, someone with, 30 years of experience, is sitting alone in the dark.
Just glaring at a laptop screen.
Exactly. I mean, they manage massive teams, huge budgets, but they aren't reviewing a quarterly strategy deck right now.
No, definitely not.
And they aren't signing off on some like multi-million dollar vendor contract. They are intensely battling a really frustrating, obscure bug in a personal iOS app.
Just desperately trying to get it past the Apple App Store review queue.
Yeah, which begs a pretty massive question.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why would a leader with that much altitude and responsibility spend their precious free time grinding through code just to ship a side project?
Well, we're exploring a fascinating 2026 essay today titled Still in the Code. And the mission of this deep dive is to really figure out why, in this rapidly accelerating age of AI, leaders can no longer afford to just, rely on secondhand knowledge. We're looking at why getting your hands dirty in the actual work is now a matter of professional survival. It's not just a quirky hobby for a tech exec anymore.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because reading this essay, I just kept thinking about a master chef.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. So imagine a chef who opens this massive restaurant empire. Over time, they step out of the kitchen to just manage the business.
They stop tasting the food as it's being cooked.
Exactly. Instead, they just read Yelp reviews from the customers or, look at spreadsheets of ingredient costs.
Which works for a while.
It totally works for a while, assuming the recipes never change. But what this author argues is that in the AI era, the ingredients themselves are changing overnight.
Yeah, the very physics of how software is built is fundamentally different now than it was even like a couple of years ago.
Right.
The author actually uses a specific term for losing that palate. They call it calibration. Or in software engineering, they talk about model drift.
Model drift, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You build up a mental model over your career of how the work gets done, how long it takes, what the genuinely hard parts are.
Sure.
And historically, that knowledge decayed, but it decayed really slowly. Like a leader's mental model from 3 or 4 years ago was still mostly right.
You could just read some industry articles, listen to your teams, and basically coast on what the author calls verified intuition.
Exactly. The map was changing, but it wasn't, redrawing itself while you were sitting in the meeting.
Right. You had this grace period where your old knowledge was close enough to reality.
But the central thesis of this essay is that the grace period ended in 2026.
It's just over.
It's completely over.
Yeah.
The map is redrawing itself in real time now. And because of AI coding agents, the actual bottleneck in software development is no longer the physical typing of syntax.
Wow. Okay. So the hard part has completely shifted.
Right. It's now about stating your intent precisely. It's about encoding that intent into strict boundaries that a machine will actually respect. And then, verifying those results fast enough to stay honest.
Wait, but I have to jump in here. If the AI is doing the heavy lifting of the actual coding, shouldn't the VP be zooming further out?
What do you mean?
Well, why get in the weeds if the AI is the one pulling the weeds? Shouldn't leaders be focusing entirely on macro strategy instead of microsyntax?
What's fascinating here is the difference between believing a paradigm shift because you saw it on a PowerPoint slide and knowing it because you actually felt it at a keyboard.
Oh, I see.
Yes, the execution is increasingly automated, but the human framing of the problem is the new constraint.
Right.
If the last time you personally shipped a piece of software was before AI agents could carry a real share of the load, your intuition about velocity, like how fast a team can actually move, is completely wrong.
Because it's calibrated to a world that literally no longer exists.
Exactly. Your intuition on risk, or what a small group can accomplish, is totally outdated. And yet, you're using that outdated intuition to set the strategy for your entire organization.
You're making confident calls on a totally stale mental map.
Yes.
The essay calls this the quiet failure mode a seniority.
Such a great
It
phrase.
really is. You climb the ladder, and every rung up trades contact for context.
Right, you get the big picture.
Yeah, you gain this massive wide view of the company, but you lose the high resolution of the actual work. You stop reading the raw code differences, the diffs, and you start reading sanitized dashboards.
Which is dangerous.
Super dangerous because your mental model keeps feeling perfectly accurate long after the reality on the ground has completely changed.
And nobody tells you your model is stale.
Yeah.
Because those dashboards are designed to summarize things. not to expose the raw friction of the work.
Totally.
So the author realized they couldn't just theorize about this AI shift from their nice corner office. They had to actually build something real to feel that friction themselves.
Which brings us to the actual project they built. It's an app called GSD, or Get Stuff Done.
Right.
It's essentially an Eisenhower Matrix task app. You know, mapping tasks by urgent versus important. Yeah.
But they didn't just throw together some simple web page. They made it a native app on iPhone, iPad, Mac, and the web, all sharing one unified model.
And they gave it self-hosted sync capabilities, too, instead of just defaulting to iCloud.
Exactly. They even built an MCP server so an AI assistant could securely interact with the tasks.
The technical choices there are so deliberate.
Yeah.
Especially that MCP server.
Yeah, explain that a bit because it's pretty technical.
Sure. Think of an MCP server, that stands for Model Context Protocol Server, as a highly secure universal translator.
Okay.
An AI agent doesn't just magically know how to safely check off a task in a proprietary database.
Mm.
If you give an AI raw access, it might accidentally delete everything.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be bad.
Very bad. So the MCP server defines the exact boundaries. It translates a natural language request, like, you know, move my urgent tasks to tomorrow, into the exact safe database updates required.
I see.
And building that bridge takes significant, deliberate effort. But why go to all that trouble? I mean, really, if the goal is just to learn how AI coding agents work, why not build a private, simple to-do list that just lives locally on your laptop?
Right.
Why force this app across all these different Apple platforms, build complex translators, and deal with the absolute headache of the public app store? It honestly feels like intentional self-torture.
Well, because a trivial toy doesn't charge you the full price of shipping.
The full price of shipping.
Yeah. When you build a private app just for yourself, you inevitably cut corners.
Yeah.
You ignore the weird edge cases.
Because nobody else is going to see it.
Exactly. You skip the tedious parts of compliance and deployment. But the moment you demand App Store level quality from an AI agent, you hit a massive brick wall of reality.
Right.
By forcing it into the real world, you subject yourself to the current state of the craft with absolutely no filter.
Ah.
It's about maintaining total control over a project, but refusing to lower the bar. That specific combination turns a little side project into a highly calibrated feedback mechanism.
It strips away the executive bubble. Totally. The author actually says, a status report is an interpretation. A demo is a curated slice. Shipping is the unedited thing.
I love that quote.
It's so true. The App Store review queue does not care if you're a Fortune 100 VP.
No, it doesn't.
The compiler doesn't care about your tenure or, you know, how many people report to you.
Reality does not grade on seniority. And because the author refused to cut corners, they immediately ran into hurdles that a simple private toy would have entirely hidden from them.
Oh, yeah. The specific hurdles they hit are incredibly grounding.
Let's talk about those.
Okay, so first, there was App Store Guideline 5.1.1v.
Sounds catchy.
Right.
Yeah.
Very bureaucratic. But this rule basically mandates that if a user can create an account in your app, they must be able to completely delete their account and all their data from inside the app, too.
Right.
So the author had to completely stop their momentum and build an entire complex, chronologically ordered deletion flow just to satisfy this one compliance rule.
And then they ran into a bug with McCatalyst.
Oh, that one was brutal.
Yeah. Catalyst is supposed to make porting an iPad app to a Mac nearly effortless. But the author hit a wall where web authentication callback was arriving on the completely wrong thread.
Which sounds incredibly obscure, but the mechanics of it explain exactly why you have to build real things.
Break that down for us.
Okay, so when you log into an app via a browser window, the browser has to send the success message back to the app.
Right.
Apps have a main thread that handles all the visual interface stuff, and background threads that silently crunch the math.
Uh-huh.
Well, the browser's success message came back on a background thread, so the app's visual layer had no idea the login actually succeeded.
So the screen just sits there.
Just sits there, completely frozen, while the background is secretly logged in. And figuring that out requires diving into the deep plumbing of a platform you barely even know.
But the most illustrative example of the full price of shipping was their sync bug.
Oh, man. The sync bug.
Yeah. They built a system where the last device to write a change wins, and it decides the winner by a timestamp.
Right.
The initial version trusted the local device's clock to decide what the word since meant when asking the server for updates.
This is such a great example of a terrifyingly silent failure.
Very silent.
So for you listening, imagine your friend's watch says it's 12.05.
Okay.
But objective reality is exactly 12.02. If your friend asks the server, "Hey, what happened since 12.05?" the server, being entirely literal, looks at that future timestamp and truthfully answers, "Nothing. That time hasn't happened yet."
Wow.
Yeah. So in the app, a device with a clock that was just a few seconds fast would ask for future changes, receive nothing, and assume it had the most current data.
So what happened to the tasks?
As a result, completed tasks didn't crash the app, they just silently evaporated.
Just vanished.
Vanished between devices without a single error message.
And the fix itself was trivial, right?
Yeah.
Like one line of code telling the app to never trust the local clock and only use the server's objective timestamp.
Right, but finding that bug.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because finding a bug like that requires you to sit there staring at the actual failure on actual physical hardware.
You don't get bugs like that in a nicely formatted status roll-up from your engineering team.
Never. You only discover them by holding the misbehaving thing in your hands and watching reality rewrite itself.
Yeah.
That is what the author calls finding ground truth.
And getting to that ground truth required this 30-year veteran to do something incredibly vulnerable.
What's that?
They had to embrace absolute beginnerhood.
Yeah.
The author notes their professional center of gravity is cloud and platform engineering. They are used to managing massive servers,
Right.
native iOS development, Mac architecture, Swift UI, dealing with strict memory constraints on a tiny battery-powered Apple device. All of that was completely outside their daily
The
expertise.
reflexes are just totally different. I mean, code that runs perfectly on a massive cloud server might drain an iPhone battery in 20 minutes.
Exactly.
So for someone used to being the most experienced person in the room, letting an AI agent expose your lack of knowledge on a new platform minute by minute, that has to be a massive ego check.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is exactly the ego check they are demanding of their entire organization.
Oh, that's a great point.
The natural instinct for any senior person is to retreat to domains where they are already an expert,
Where they feel safe.
right, where they feel safe and competent. Resisting that instinct is the point. The discomfort they felt, that sensation of being slow, of being wrong in front of a problem that just doesn't care about your resume, that is the actual visceral sensation of learning. The
Yeah.
author actually writes, "A leader who has not felt it recently has quietly stopped."
They weren't just learning a new Apple platform either. They were learning a completely new way of building software entirely.
Yes, the agentic SDLC.
Right. They explicitly note they didn't manually type most of the code. They built it alongside an AI agent using what they call the agentic software development lifecycle.
The new rhythm isn't typing syntax. The rhythm is spec the intent, plan the approach, and then execute one verifiable step at a time. And the mechanics of this are fascinating. You don't just tell an AI, build me a task app. You have to manage the AI's context window.
Right, because if you feed it too much code at once, it loses the plot and completely forgets your earlier instructions.
It's basically like managing an incredibly fast, mildly amnesiac junior developer.
That is exactly what it's like. You have to be ruthless about boundaries. If you aren't perfectly precise, the AI might hallucinate a solution using some Apple API that doesn't actually
Or
exist,
rewrite a perfectly good piece of code from yesterday just because it lost context.
which completely revitalizes the concept of test-driven development, or TDD.
Yeah, you need those tests to keep the AI honest.
Exactly. The human relies heavily on a fast test suite. The human writes the strict test defining the boundary like, when I click this button, the database must update without crashing, and the AI writes the code to satisfy that test. If the AI breaks something, the compiler fails, and the human feeds that exact error back to the AI to iterate.
You are learning the physical texture of this new workflow.
Yeah. And the author realized they would much rather learn the friction of this new rhythm on their own personal project than theorize about it on their team's critical projects.
Which is very smart.
I hear the value in that, absolutely. But I have to play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
The author raises this exact point themselves. Isn't this just a massive display of executive privilege?
How so?
Well, you're a VP. You rebuilt a personal app that you fully control. You have no deadline, no stakeholders breathing down your neck, no cross-functional teams arguing over the product roadmap.
That's true.
Most engineers do not get to take the scenic route and experiment with AI workflows on a completely blank canvas.
Right.
And frankly, shouldn't a VP be spending their precious time developing their people and clearing organizational roadblocks rather than staying up until 2 a.m. fighting with Mac Catalyst thread bugs?
It's a fair question.
Right. Like, if every executive starts spending their nights building personal apps, aren't we just glorifying executive burnout under the guise of quote unquote preventative maintenance?
It is the most vital objection to raise, and the author faces it head on with two very clear responses.
Okay, what do they say?
First, they argue this is not a replacement for leadership work. It is a modest time investment that makes all of their actual leadership work significantly sharper.
Ah, I see.
Think of it like changing the oil in your judgment before the check engine light comes on.
That makes sense.
Spending a few hours a week staying technically calibrated is drastically cheaper for the company than having a VP explain 6 months later why the entire product roadmap is up in smoke.
Just because their fundamental assumptions about AI velocity were completely wrong.
Exactly.
So the ROI isn't the app itself. The ROI is the upgraded, calibrated judgment.
Precisely. And the second response addresses the privilege aspect. Fully acknowledge the privilege. A personal project with no stakeholders is obviously a highly controlled environment.
Yeah, very controlled.
But that doesn't invalidate the lesson. It isolates it.
Oh, isolating the lesson.
Yeah. A controlled personal project is the cleanest, most direct way to get contact with the actual work without disrupting your team's momentum.
That's a good point.
The author explicitly says the method is negotiable. If you have a better way to get your hands dirty in your organization, use it. But the contact itself, that is non-negotiable.
And look at what that contact brings back to the day job, right? You gain this unfakeable credibility.
Huge credibility.
When this VP sits down with an engineering team to navigate a new AI-driven workflow, they aren't reasoning from some conference talk they half listened to while checking emails.
No, they have the actual scars.
They have the scars. They know exactly where AI agents provide magical leverage and where they are confidently dangerously useless.
It completely changes how they filter information. Take vendor pitches, for example.
Oh, yes.
When a software vendor comes in promising that their new AI enterprise tool magically handles all system integration.
Right, which they always promise.
Exactly. But this leader knows from direct, painful experience from building that MCP server that AI agents only respect the exact boundaries your tooling explicitly enforces.
So they can spot the vendor's overpromise immediately because they understand the underlying mechanics?
Yeah. And it changes how they hear a team's time estimates, too.
How so?
Well, if an engineering lead says a new feature will take 2 weeks, the VP isn't comparing that estimate to how long similar features took back in 2019.
Oh, right.
They're checking it against a freshly verified mental model of how fast human AI collaboration actually moves right now.
Which is invaluable. And honestly, perhaps most importantly, it models the necessary behavior.
What do you mean?
Well, you cannot credibly ask an entire organization to embrace continuous learning, to sit in the extreme discomfort of new AI workflows, to ship with relentless discipline if you are completely unwilling to endure those things yourself.
That is so true.
Culture is what people watch you do when things get hard, not what you claim to value in a quarterly all-hands meeting. So what does this all mean? Synthesizing this whole deep dive, the ultimate takeaway isn't that every executive needs to go learn Swift and build an iOS task app.
Right. It's not about the specific Apple technology at all.
Not at all. It is about finding a practice, whatever it is, in your specific field that charges you the full price of shipping.
Yes.
It's about willingly stepping back into the deeply uncomfortable shoes of a beginner to ensure your mental map actually matches the territory. Especially right now when AI is redrawing that map overnight.
You can't let your judgment run on a version of the city that has already been demolished and rebuilt around you.
Exactly.
This raises an important question, and it's something the author hints at, but leaves for us to really resolve.
Okay.
They write that every leader needs some version of the App Store queue, meaning a place where your title completely disappears and the work answers back objectively.
Right.
So for you listening, what is your App Store queue right now? What is the impartial, unfeeling judge in your own career that tests whether your skills are actually current?
That is a tough question. Because if you can't name what that impartial judge is, if you don't have something occasionally telling you that you are wrong or slow, Are you actively seeking out the truth of your craft?
Yeah.
Or are you, maybe without even realizing it, quietly hiding behind your title and your tenure, just hoping nobody notices that your map is out of date?
It's definitely something to think about.
Think about the chef. Think about the VP coding at midnight. Stay in the kitchen. Keep tasting the ingredients.